Well, this morning, I'm going to begin by telling you the story from the Bible about a time when God's people were in trouble and prayer made a difference. It's in the book of Kings, and there are farmers who had a drought as a punishment from God for 3 years. Think about that. You're a farmer, and it hasn't rained for 3 years. This is devastating. And it was actually worse than you think. This is before global commerce and shipping and refrigeration and preservatives. No rain means no food. No food means people and animals were literally starving. And people are getting desperate, moving away, fleeing, fighting with each other. When you suffer something like that, like food scarcity, I mean, folks were doing almost anything just to try to make things better. These are some of the darkest days in the history of God's people. It was King Ahab, Queen Jezebel. Most people, just normal people, didn't worship God. In fact, most people in this story saw suffering, and instead of going to God, they complained about difficulty, and they lashed out. There was abuse, desperation in all of its forms, and hurt people. And it was a time when things seemed hopeless. But in the middle of this story of faithless people, the story is told of one person who stood alone representing God. The man was Elijah. And his job was to tell people, to point people to God, a better solution than whatever else they were doing. He'd say, I would imagine, things like, following God is better than fight. It's better than flight, it's better than escaping, it's better than anything else you could do. Draw near to God and he will draw near to you, is what I imagine James saying. And after saying things like turn from sin to God for 3 long years, and after watching the tragedy, the irrationality of people turning to everything but God, Elijah prays. And I imagine him praying things like the words you sang today. God, we need you every hour. God, you are sovereign. But what we know he said was simple. God, can you send rain? And he prayed in faith. And after 3 years of drought, God sent rain on dry soil. And crops started to grow. And it was a moment where everyone saw who was sovereign and the power of prayer, that God actually does something with people of faith who pray. Now, I have really bad news today. This morning is the last message that we're getting in the book of James. I knew we would run out of verses eventually, but if you've been here for the last year, we've been going verse by verse through the book of James as God's word to people who are suffering. James is a spectacular book. Please go back and read it. It teaches you how to find joy when you go through trials, when you realize that God's your Father. James teaches us that God is doing something good in your life, and that you would be better for standing and praying in faith rather than lashing out in anger or frustration. Now, what I love about this text is that James just goes there and gets sort of in your face, gets really specific about what you can do when you're in trouble. And look, not very many of you are farmers, and to be honest, if we had to list prayer requests, I think most people would be happy with less rain, not more rain. Am I right here? But let's be honest, we all have problems. We've all got suffering. We've got obstacles that we're not sure what to do with. And what you do next matters. It's a question. What do you do when you're in trouble? What do you do when you're sick? What do you do when you're sad, disappointed, depressed, when the world seems chaotic or you're grieving? What you do next matters. And what's your first response when you get bad news from the doctor or whatever? Like, here's the thing. People naturally do lots of things. And to be honest, lots of the things people do are bad when you get under stress or anxious. But today we're going to talk about something you can do that's actually really good. Our text is James chapter 5. This is what God tells us to do. Simple question. Is anyone among you in trouble? If so, well, let him pray. Is anyone happy, let them sing songs of praise. Is anyone among you sick? Let them call the elders of the church to pray over them and anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise them up. Now, some of this is complicated, but what you should do is pretty clear. What's your situation in life? Here's a couple scenarios. Are you happy? Well, you should sing songs of praise. Well, I love this is there because most people don't go, what do I do if I'm happy? But this is a good reminder that some of us have everything to be thankful, and we're not. And this is just very human. Instead of being thankful or happy, some of us are so good. Like, we go on a scavenger hunt trying to find something to be mad about, right? A lot of us have so much good in our lives that we get upset about other people's problems because we just, I don't know, like being upset or something. And James, I think what he's saying is, you know, a lot of people in the world would be so happy to be you today. So smile. If you're happy, you're allowed to be happy. Smile. Sing songs of praise. But what if you're not? What if you're in trouble? That's a scenario. Or what if you're sick? Do you know anyone who's in trouble? Do you know anyone who's sick? Well, yes and yes. We could spend some time fleshing that out, talking about what it means to be in trouble or be sick. I don't think I have to do that because, look, lots of us go through trouble. I mean, we could talk about it. Lots of us are going through grief or confusion or disappointment or anxiety. That's true, right? And lots of us are sick. The problem is, it's not that we're not sure how to identify our problems. We're not sure what to do next. So we go to fight or flight. We latch on or lash out. We wonder how to escape it. We're so creative. Some of us get distracted by baseball. That's interesting. Or we're just mad, so we kick the dog. Or some of us do both, right? We fight and flight. We do the dumbest stuff when we're in trouble or sick. It's very human. But God gives us something else we could do. Do you know what you should do when there's nothing else to do? When you've done everything you ought to do and it seems out of control? Well, it's pretty simple. You can pray. You can pray because God is in control and he could change the situation. In fact, let's be really specific here. James says, if you're sick, really specific instructions, you call the elders who pray for you. Let me just unpack this for a second because we forget this sometime. If you're sick and there's nothing else you could do, who does what? Look, very specific. The sick person, call the elders. Now, I've been in church for a while. I've made some observations. Here's what normally happens. Someone gets sick, injured, hurt, and their next question is, how come nobody called me to offer to pray for me? I just want to be really clear. You see who calls who, right? James doesn't say, when you're sick, you ought to know that church leaders have a secret sense of that you need a call. I'd say your phone works both ways, right? Call the church leaders to pray for you. If you're sick, call the elders, call church leaders for prayer. And I'll just point out who it says to call. Because you would expect, in most churches like this, call the pastor to pray for you if you're sick. And that's fine. I think I happen to like pastors. And I put my contact in the bulletin, call me and I'll pray for you. I go to the hospital, whatever. But that's not what the Bible says to do, right? Someone tell me this. When you're sick, call who? You guys got to work on this harder. Elders are really important. They lead the church. They pray. In fact, I'd add, not every church is like our church. There are churches that are pastor-led or congregational-led. In our church is elder-led. In fact, when I'm praying with you, I am acting as one of our church elders. You also see me up here. I'm a lot giving announcements. Do you hear me say, church, here's what we're doing next, or here's where we're going next? You should know, when I give announcements, I'm announcing what our leaders have decided, right? You guys lead the church. I make the announcements. This is how the Bible teaches. Biblical churches are led by church leaders. Again, lots of churches have like pastors, and elders are sort of like yes men, but in the Bible, Churches are led by church leaders. So if you're sick, call the church elders. And I'll also add, in a lot of modern churches, you have elders who are kind of way up here, and then deacons are sort of, you know, they sweep the floors or something. But in our church government, deacons are, essentially, they're acting as elders do in a lot of other churches. In fact, we call our leaders the council to say that elders and deacons have the same amount of authority. Elders happen to pray more, deacons happen to steward things more, but in our polity, deacons, elders are both authoritative church leaders. And on top of that, I'll just add, if you want more people to call, I think some of our most effective leaders in this church get different titles. I'll name some of them. Folks like Sharon or Jessica and Lauren, 252, or Ashley with Youth Group. And some of our really influential leaders we could talk about, like Lori with small groups or Joyce with care, or I can keep going. We are so blessed have lots of gifted, wise, godly leaders in this community that lead our church, and the Bible honors them, and you should call them. Is anyone in trouble? Is anyone sick? This is pretty specific. Call church leaders, call elders to pray, talk to them, ask them to talk to God on your behalf. And look, you see that word, are you in trouble? Sometimes being in trouble is because you're a victim and you need help, right? Sometimes you don't have to raise hands. Sometimes you're in trouble because you've been an idiot, right? And getting better doesn't look like being symptom-free. It means how to deal with our lives better, being a sinner dealing with sinful people. So James just keeps going. If the person who is in trouble or the person who's sick, if they have sinned, they will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to one another so that you may be healed. I think maybe an under-talked about part of the journey of spiritual growth, moving from being in trouble to being healthy. I think, you know, for most of us, it looks like changing our behavior to be more holy. And one thing that helps you do that to grow spiritually, emotionally healthy. You can't do it by yourself. You gotta talk to godly, mature people who will have a good influence on you. Part of what the Bible says is you gotta talk to people who are godly influences about what's going on. Let me tell you about the ways I'm being held back in how I parent or how my marriage works or how what goes on at work. You are better off for having people to talk to. It's just, help me figure out how to talk to my kids better about this. Or let me just talk about how, you know, the bad habits I've developed when I talk to people, or my mental, like, conversation that holds me back. When you're in that kind of trouble, you know what helps? Talk to godly people about it. Talk to each other, and you find improvement and healing. And James continues. He says, the prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. Then he just tells a story I started with about Elijah, a human being, normal guy, just like us. And this guy, a normal person, prayed, and we prayed that it wouldn't rain. That's how it started, and it didn't rain for three years. That's how it happened. And again, he prayed, and he just prayed, and the heaven produced rain, and the earth produced his fruit. I mean, here's a story about a guy who controlled the weather by praying. And again, go back in the Old Testament to read the story there. James is making a really simple point. Prayer does something. I don't know that we really believe that. You know why I think that? Because I have a general idea of how much time we spend praying. And I don't think it's enough. I think if you really thought prayer made that kind of difference, we would spend more time praying. Wednesday in prayer meeting, we looked at the catechism and just reflected on what the Bible says about prayer. I'm just going to give you some of what the Bible says about prayer. Just let it sink in. The first question, why do Christians need to pray? Good question. Why do Christians need to pray? The catechism answers, because prayer is the most important part of the thankfulness that God requires of us. And also because God gives us his grace and Holy Spirit only to those who pray continually and groan inwardly, asking for these gifts and thanking God for them. That's worth thinking about. Next prayer, next question. What kind of prayer does God listen to? First, we pray from the heart to no one other than the true God revealed to us in his word, asking for everything God has commanded us to ask him. Secondly, we must fully recognize our need and misery so that we humble ourselves in God's majestic presence. Third, we must rest on his unshakable foundation that though we don't deserve it, God will surely listen to our prayers because of Christ our Lord. That is what God promised us in his word. I'll do one more. This is so rich. What did God command us to pray for? What should you pray about? Sirah says, everything. Pray for everything we need spiritually and physically as embraced in the prayer Christ our Lord himself taught us. What do you do when you're in trouble? What do you do when you're sick? Simple answer, the prayer of a righteous person is powerful and it's effective. Praying does something. I don't think we really believe that. If you really believe that, you would spend more time praying. I'll say it about myself first. If I let this sink in, I would spend more time praying than I do. It's so simple. Are you in trouble? Are you sick? Yes. And yes. Actually, let's do a quick quiz. Raise your hand, hold it nice and high if you've never had any trouble in your life. Okay. Raise your hand, keep it high if you've never had any health concerns. I see no hands. Anybody here prays as much as you should? What I see is, well, I've learned something about you. Everybody in this room thinks that you should pray more than you do now, because the prayer of the righteous person is powerful and effective. And I just wonder sometimes, if we would pray more in faith, I wonder if we'd see a little bit less trouble, a little less sickness. We could talk, there's more we could dive in, but I just want the simple application. We should pray more. And then James ends with these words, my brothers and sisters, if one of you should wander from the truth and someone bring that person back, remember this. Whoever turns a sinner from the error of their way saves them, will save them from death and cover a multitude of sins. All right, next assignment. I want you to think of somebody you know who's encountering trouble. And I don't mean someone who's in jail or in court or anything like that. I don't even mean people you know who you know they're going the wrong direction, who is a slave to an addiction or substance abuse or something. I just want you to think more generally. Think about all the habits, practices, and activities that cause trouble for people you care about. I mean, you don't have to think about too many categories. Just think about the topics that the book of James has already brought up in this book. He's brought up things about like gossiping, people who use their words to hurt people. He's talked about people who live for themselves instead of helping other people, people who need connection but drive other people away from them because of how they use their words. Or think about people who don't see how their actions hurt people, who are suffering and reacting the wrong way. Do you know anybody who's under stress, who deal with it in wrong ways? Again, don't raise your hands this time. My guess is that every single person in this room knows somebody who is under pressure and hurting themselves and other people. You know people who are in trouble, and they may not know it. Some of you are like, you've just described all my friends. That's why I don't answer my phone all the time, right? Here's the thing. James close the book. This is a crazy way of ending a book, by saying that you have a God-empowered opportunity to save a life. Bringing people back to the truth can save them a lot of trouble. And you have the ability to save marriages, family, you could even save lives by showing people who are in trouble and dealing with it in the wrong way, the truth. So here we go. This is God's word to people who are in trouble and sick. What do? First, pray. When you're in trouble, when you're sick, pray. Go to church leaders who are godly and mature for prayer and advice and counsel. And be real, admit your faults, confess sins, whatever, just get help. It's not to say unload on anybody. There are dumb people you get advice to, you don't listen to them. Find people who are mature and trustworthy who will help you. And don't be silent and watch people keep hurting themselves. That's so hard, right? But that's how James ends the book. James says, don't let hurt people hurt people if you can make a difference. You have the opportunity, James says, to save lives, families, jobs, marriages by speaking the truth in a loving way. And folks, that's it. That's how the book of James ends, with, I think, a very specific thing for all of us to do, whether we're in trouble, sick, or just watching people around us. If you're someone in trouble, and by the way, if you're here this morning and you're not sure how to deal with chaos because of how messed up the world is, I just want to, you know, point out that's really normal. If you hear the songs we've sung and you're just, what would it even look like to trust my problems into God's hands? If you're not sure how that works, we'd love to talk to you about what it means to stand on the gospel and walk in that. We'd love to talk to you about what it means to have foundation and trust in Christ, where you could live securely. If that's you, talk to us. If you're sick, call the elders. In the bulletin, we actually have handy connection cards. You could fill this out. We would love to pray with you. If you want to pray for other people, make sure to sign up for the prayer chain. We send out updates of how to pray for people. I'm so convinced that the Lord does powerful things in prayer. And if you're someone who's walking in the truth, I want you to take this message as a call to prayer. And I want you to take this as an invitation to help people you know who may be in trouble, to spend more time talking to the Lord and others. Folks, you have an amazing opportunity to change lives, families, communities, generations. Like, you have a call to do nothing short of changing the world by the power of prayer and through Christ alone. So, Father in heaven, we are constantly reminded of how very much we need you. We need you when we're in trouble. We need you when we're sick. We need you when we're healthy. We need you when things are good. We need you every hour. Every hour we need you, and I pray that you would remind us of your power and wisdom. I thank you for all of our church leaders who lead so well. Can we just be a community that speaks the truth in love, that pursues holiness, and loves our neighbors and changes our community because of the love and care that we found in you. We ask all this in the name of Jesus. Amen.